In a dystopian technological realm full of confusion and disarray, three heroes emerged with a message to the masses. The year was 2004. Googlebot struck first, scorching the SERPs. The webmasters fought back, but the battle was brutal and decisive. When the smoke cleared, the webmasters were divided and defeated. Until now, a resistance has started, and the bots have been answered. Tune in to join the resistance and learn to fight the good fight and claim your place in the SEO world. From the minds at Mind Development and Design, welcome to the Mind Your SEO podcast. Be prepared to unlock the secrets of Google rankings and dominate your competition with the knowledge provided by your SEO guides, David Brown, Mark Boyd, and Russ Randolph. Mind Your SEO.
Hey there, and welcome to the Mind Your SEO podcast. I'm Mark Boyd with
David Brown
and Russ Randolph,
and we're here to answer your SEO questions. And in case you're wondering what we're going to answer because you haven't asked any questions yet, we've got a very simple solution there for you. We've got the Ask a Question section coming up on the Mind Development and Design website. That's minddevelopmentanddesign.com, or if your short-term memory is as bad as mine, you can just type in minddnd.com and look for the Ask a Question section. Ask your question, and we'll do our best to get to it on a future show. We didn't have any questions yet because we don't have the page set up on the site yet, but we've got a lot of common questions that we're asked in our just on a day-to-day basis in SEO. In fact, a lot of these, Dave Brown here has been doing this for 16 years, so a lot of this stuff is old hat to him, Dave, I'm going to go ahead and throw the first question your way, man, because we get this a lot in our business. The question is, I don't have money to hire an SEO. What can I do to improve my ranking?
Yep, that's definitely a common question. Well, while we would like everybody to have a plethora of cash to throw at us to take care of your SEO needs, that's not always the case. And, you know, we've even introduced a new product earlier this year for small mom and pops, the out of sites. You probably heard the commercial on the last episode. And you'll hear it this episode, too, because that's our one and only product we have. So that being said,
so we're going to just play the heck out of it.
Exactly. So you don't have any money for an SEO. What can you do? There's some really easy things that we can do right off the bat. The most important is determining who your target demographic is. Are you selling a blue widget that only 35 to 45-year-old women are buying? If so, how do you get your message out in front of those eyeballs? What are the terms that you would put in? If you don't have the money to start spending on SEO Moz, you know, Majestic SEO, Raven Tools, all these other tools, Cognitive SEO, all these different tools are great, and there is something to be found in all of this data. One of the things I did early on in my career was ask my mom, who's now in her mid-60s, and she'd kill me if she, I don't think she's listening to our podcast, but I'm fine there. Hey, Mom, how would you search for this? You're asking somebody who is your target demographic for most things. A, she has money to buy things. She has credit cards, and she buys a lot of stuff on the internet now that she knows how to, much to my stepdad's dismay. But that being said, I would ask her, what would you search for? And a lot of times people get into what I like to call vanity terms. Oh, I really, really need to rank for this term. I want to outrank my competition because they've got some thorn in their side about their competition. They rank for this term. You want to rank for that term. Go to trends.google.com. Type that term in. See if it even shows up. If it says there's not enough data, that means there's not enough people searching for it for you to really care about. If you're in a, you know, this is a very broad question, so this is a lot easier if somebody comes to us and says, hey, look, we're selling bird feed and we need to get in front of as many people as we possibly can. And I bring that up because a lot of my analogies and stories are based off of past clients. We had a client, I want to rank, it was For the Birds was their the name of their site, I believe. This is 5-6 years ago. And that's actually the name of a band. and they didn't have any backlinks pointing to them. And through our keyword research, we found that there is a problem in nature with bird feeders. Squirrels. A lot of people, something like 54,000 people a month, were searching for squirrel-proof bird feeders. So in some instances, and in this particular instance, we talked to the owner of the company, said, hey, can you pick up 10 or 15 or 20 of these squirrel-proof bird feeders? And then we can start writing some content around that, getting some links back to it, some funny analogies, things of that nature. And while people are buying those squirrel-proof bird feeders, go ahead and at the bottom of the page, much like what Amazon does, people who bought this also bought this, this, and this. Recommended products, cross-selling is what they call it. Sales went through the roof for a little tiny company, and it's just because the traffic came for people that were looking for those squirrel-proof bird feeders. That's just one example of literally millions of different possibilities. So,
Dave, have you ever personally witnessed the extent to which squirrels will go to get bird seed out of a bird feeder that's like even, you know, out of reach?
Oh yeah, they're viral videos on YouTube.
It's amazing.
Yeah, they'll jump and swing and they
hang upside down.
Yeah, they're nuts, man. They go for nuts normally, but they'll go for bird seed. Nuts, right? So. Really, the most important thing for you to do, step one to answer this question in such a vague manner, is to make sure that you are targeting, or you find out who your target demographic is. Write content that those people want to see in the form of answering questions. People use Google now like a magic eight ball. How do I do blank? Shake the magic eight ball and then get your answer, right? So, if you can answer some of those common questions, and you probably already know, if you have any clients, they're already asking you these questions. So, how do I do blank? Write an article about how you do blank. Tell them, let them know. A lot of times people will say, hey, this is really great information. It's too difficult for us to do. How much would you guys charge us to do it? There's new business. Writing killer content is something that Google really wants you to do. And it's something you should be doing. It's one of Google's best practices. We'll talk a little bit later about linking, but links are important. If you were writing killer content, you know, Google's rose-colored glasses says that that's the way that you should get links. Write killer content. People are going to find it. They're going to link back to your content. Those links count as votes to your website. You're going to be doing better almost immediately. So what can I do with no money? Take some time, get into the heads of the people that you're trying to sell to, answer some questions, some commonly asked questions. I have a legacy client I've been working with for 11 plus years now, and we built a website that was done to do nothing other, it has no other function than to answer all the questions that come through their customer service department. Customer service is answering these questions via email all day long. This content has never seen the light of day. A lot of these questions are asked numerous times. Some of these questions are asked 50, 60 times a month. So when we put this content onto the site and people start off with a Google search before they email, I'll always do a Google search before I email customer support because you have no idea how long it's going to take for somebody to get back to you. Do I have to sign up at a site? Do I have to create an account? Blah, blah, blah. All these barriers to entry, which are a pain in the ass, quite frankly. If I can go do a quick Google search, find the question that I'm already looking for on a Yahoo Answers or an eHow or something of the nature, or more specifically in that vertical, a site or a forum or whatever. Hey, try this. I did this and this works. You know, you're going to drive the traffic there. If that requires a component, a part, a service, you have the opportunity to linking to, hey, we provide this service or this component or this part or blue widget, or what have you. So, content is key. Write the best content you can, and that's something anybody without money for an SEO can do. Obviously, it does help to have some kind of platform that you can work on, like WordPress or Magento or, you know, what have you, where you can actually get in and edit that without having to pay a webmaster to come in and handle that portion for you. So that, I don't know that if that's probably the best answer in the world. I'm sure it's not.
Well, you know, when you really look at it, though, they've a lot of people are, you know, they've been looking for shortcuts for so long, and what's happened is they're slowly but surely realizing that all the work they've been trying to get out of doing is now what, you know, Google is basically requiring you to do.
Right. Well, talk to a personal trainer. Can I just take Dexatrim twice a day and not go to the gym? Sure. Are you going to get the same results as going to the gym and having a healthy diet? No.
Nope.
So quick fixes are pretty much just that. You can run around and pay for this quick fix, or, oh, this company only charges $59.99 a month to do this, and they submit me to all the search engines. Do not pay anyone to submit you to the search engines.
Mm-mm.
Do you want your site to be found? If you do a brand new blog post, here's a quick tip. Googlebot lives on Twitter. Do a new post, link to it, publish it on Twitter. Googlebot will find that, find your site, crawl it, index it. You can have a site indexed completely within, I don't know, an hour or less, just by linking to it through Google, or through Twitter, rather, a Twitter post.
So, well, like you tell our clients all the time, if it's up to you to be consistent with putting information on your website to basically train Googlebot to come to your site that, you know, hey, with every post you're saying, hey, I've got some information for you, and Googlebot comes and checks it out and then learns that, hey, every Tuesday and every Thursday at such and such a time, I can find some good stuff on this website.
Right. Well, Googlebot's job is to index the entire world, right? There's two websites for every human on the face of the planet right now, at the last numbers I read. So,
wow.
And, yeah, Tuesdays and Thursdays are the best days for publication. That came from a good friend of mine, David McGinnis, that started PR Web, sold it years ago. He had paid for a study to be done. Tuesdays and Thursdays have a higher open read rate. So for whatever reason that is, you know, the sun is in the 16th pattern of omnibus. I have no idea. Whatever the reason is, they have a higher open rate. That's when we have our clients publish. And yeah, if you keep...
I like the 16th pattern of omnibus theory there, man. That makes far more sense to me.
Sure. You know, and there's the secret sauce that nobody will tell you in SEO. It's the 16th pattern of omnibus. or the 4th, 2nd is what I should have gone with, because Hitchhiker's Guide. But anywho, that is something to keep in mind. And I did do a blog post. It's not posted. Well, it'll be posted by the time you hear this. Oh my God, SEO is dead? Question mark. I'm sick and tired of hearing those blog posts. Those are meant to draw people in and get people to argue about it. SEO is not dead. SEO is dead. SEO is not dead. You know what? As long as people rely on search engines, there is going to be the need for optimization for those search engines. And SEO means exactly that, to optimize for the search engines. So
I thought that was a great analogy you had in your article regarding you compared it to, as long as we're driving automobiles, there's going to be guys that are out there souping them up.
Right.
That will always happen. So I have actually... knock on wood, I said I'd never see a souped up Prius. I saw one the other day.
cracked me up. Oh, they're out there.
Yeah. I think I live in the Prius capital of the country, but anywho.
Do they have those rims that never stop spinning even when you stop?
The three wells? They did not.
They actually continue to spin and generate more power.
Wow, so that's the secret of the Prius. It's like your own windmill built right into your car. And here I thought that those things were all about aesthetics, but they're functional.
Back on topic, the things that are important, of course, are links. You've probably heard content is king, linking is queen, social media is, you know. I don't know what they call social media, the redheaded stepchild. Social media is very important. We'll get into that in part two of today's podcast and who should be using it, what you should be using it for. Probably the most important things, though, you don't have any money for SEO. Go out there to every free service where you can submit your website. make sure you have your Google Places, your Google Business set up, your Google Plus profile. Go to even Bing, but it's not Google. And they'll send you a postcard 3 weeks later or a month later before you forget about it. You can go ahead and get that submitted. Yahoo has a deal. There are a few really good paid directories that you can be in. Make sure that you get into those if you can afford it. Some of those, like business.com, I believe is either $199 or $299 a year. If your closest competition are in these places, DMoz, Yahoo Directory, Best of the Web, Massive Links, places like that, go and search for them. If they're there, here's a really simple question. I had a client ask me years ago, said, "Hey, Dave, this is great. You're doing an awesome job. We're kicking ass, taking names. But how much longer are you going to need to do this SEO thing until we're done?" And I thought about it for a second and asked him a simple question as my response and just said, "When do you think your number two and number three competitors are going to quit working on their SEO?" They're probably not, because they want to be in number one. Just because you're enjoying number one right now doesn't mean that you'll always be number one. Somebody can come out and spend twice as much money, and they can outdo you on pay-per-click, whoever has the highest budget. Yeah, so the things that you can do, put yourself out on any of those places. If you're a business, I saw somebody the other day out of Chicago, has three diners, and we can't even rank for our own name. I read this on Reddit, and really simply, man, go. You didn't claim your Google local listings. So when you're putting yours up, Yelp is outdoing you, Urban Spoon is outdoing you, all these other places. Now, you can go to any one of those links, and it says, claim this listing as the owner of the company. Yelp will then put a link back to your site for free just by taking 10 minutes to fill out a form, subscribe. They're not going to send you a bunch of crap. Sometimes they do. Just read the small fine print and uncheck the please send me updates every 16 seconds, and you won't be over inundated with, you know, email. Sign up to Yelp. Put the business listing in there. Throw up your own pictures instead of pictures that people submit. We can get into negative SEO down the road, but one of the SEOs that used to work for me years ago had an issue with a company and ended up putting up a picture of the rear end of my dog as their business listing. So for a year and a half, this company had the tail end of a Jack Russell on their company profile page. So lots of things that you can do. We'll probably put together a post on this. And Booth is saying, we need to go to a commercial break, so we'll be right back after these messages.
Google, 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 Google. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these commercial interest endorsements.
Hey, this is Mark Boyd from the Mind Your SEO podcast. You know, there's no worse feeling than someone telling you how bad your website looks, how hard it is to navigate, how busy and amateurish the design is, how, like Bono, they still haven't found what they're looking for. Well, very few businesses know that feeling because people are nice and they won't tell you. They just won't stay on your site and they won't come back. And if there's a problem, you'll only know because your traffic is low. Many of you are making do with a website that you know fits this description, but you don't think you can afford something better. Wrong. Out-of-Sites from Mind Development and Design will give your site the sharp, clean, professional web presence you need. And you don't have to be a technical genius to put your own fresh content and blog posts on there, because it's WordPress and we'll show you how to use it. Seriously, we'll show you. Build your own contact forms with ease. Block spammers with a Kismet, probably the best filter there is. Get more love from Google with the Yoast SEO plugin and cutting-edge RDFA. Something your competition probably doesn't know about, but will by year's end. And before I forget, Out-of-Sites are responsive design. They'll look great on any device from PC to smartphones. Ditch those mobile sites, people. They're old news, and Google doesn't like them. You want your website to look sharp like Joe Jackson, to navigate well like Lemmy, to get found like Rebecca Black, and to have responsive design so you get better response. Visit minddevelopmentanddesign.com or call 717-517-8383 and talk to one of our way cool, groovy, out of sight people to find out how to make your business out of sight.
Mind your SEO.
Sometimes cheap is good, but isn't your website too important to trust to some cheap web host? Like a really great cup of fresh coffee, sometimes it's worth paying a few cents more. If you're tired of downtime and slow performance, it's time for a better web host. Fresh Roasted Hosting's accelerated web hosting means your pages load faster and can handle more traffic, while their virtual and dedicated servers mean you've got room to grow. Best of all, every hosting service is backed by 24-hour support and a 99.9% uptime SLA. And thanks to their Tier 2 data centers in Texas and Pennsylvania, Fresh Roasted Hosting delivers a full range of hosting solutions. Accelerated web hosting, domain names, private servers, even co-location services, they've got you covered. Your website is too important to trust to some cheap web host. Upgrade to Fresh Roasted Hosting today and use promo code FRESH2014 to save 10% on any new hosting service. Visit FreshRoastedHosting.com today. Terms and conditions apply. See FreshRoastedHosting.com for complete details.
Glad you stuck around. We are too. Now back to the Mind Your SEO podcast from the minds at Mind Development and Design.
Okay, and we're back with the Mind Your SEO podcast. We've been talking about you know, all the SEO is dead talk that has been going around for a couple of years now. Dave, do you think it would be fair that people have been jumping on that bandwagon ever since Matt Cutts made that statement at South by Southwest, what was it, 2-3 years ago?
Well, no, I'd say it's been going on longer than that. People have been using that as a tagline to get people to come in and read and, you know, argue with them so that they get their comment count up.
Yeah.
So, it's been happening longer than I'd like it to have happened, and it's not dead, it's never dying, and you can go read the blog post about that, that's fine.
Yep, absolutely. We've covered that, some on links, but we want to talk a little bit about social media. There's so many different platforms out there. There are general platforms, there are career and vocation-specific platforms. So the big question is, what social media should be mandatory in my business, in anybody's business? And again, I'm going to turn that over to Dave Brown to lead you in the right direction on that.
Well, there's, you know, you look at any commercial on TV and you're going to see the F and T at the bottom. And Google Plus is there because Google built Google Plus, and they're relying on that becoming a social media platform. And if you're not using it, they might pick up their Tonka trucks and take them home, and you don't get to play in their sandbox anymore. So let's just say the three big ones are Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus. And there are, I love Reddit to death. It's not for self-promotion. If you go out there and start self-promoting on Reddit, you're going to get knocked down really quick. And those guys are brutal, but I love them. I'm a total Reddit freak. Realistically, I mean, we've had several different types of people we've dealt with over the years, and one of the big ones that I use as an example is real estate agents. Look at the numbers. Do a little bit of research. Most people, on average, buy 3 homes in their lifetime. Just because I bought a house from Joe Blow down the road does not mean that to like him on Facebook and see every other listing that he posts for the next 7.5 years before I upgrade to a newer home, right? That's completely annoying. It has absolutely no bearing. If I was looking for a real estate agent to buy a home from, I'm not going to go to Facebook and look to see, oh, this guy has 72,000 likes. He must be a great real estate agent. Or he went and spent $50 at Fiverr.com and paid a bunch of people in, you know, overseas to like his page. That's something people need to be aware of and take a look at. I've seen arguments, well, if I don't pay for, you know, 10,000 likes to my page, and my nearest competitor has, you know, 10,001 likes, then I don't seem believable. Well, you also don't seem believable when we come to your page and Ziao Yatzao is and his 17 brothers and sisters are the people liking your page, and you're in an English-speaking country. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. You know, there's... That's a different rant for a different day.
But. Well, and we've talked with our clients about it too, because we, you know, our clients get tempted by that stuff just like anybody does, and you know, it always goes back to, do you want to have 10,000 followers who really don't give, they really don't give two thoughts about your business, don't care at all, or would you rather have a small core of people who actually do care about your business and will be interactive with you as well? And that takes time to build up. And once again, it's a shortcut that has just fallen by the wayside.
Right. And again, if you're producing quality content in any vertical or niche, people are going to find it. They're going to share it. Make sure that you have social share buttons on your site. If you don't, you're shooting yourself in the foot. You could be producing the greatest content in the world. If nobody sees it, it's like blinking in the dark. Nobody else knows what's going on except for you. So there are times and places to use it. To me, the most important use of social media, and I got to work on some very killer projects back in the day. At one point in time, I was a really big deal on Twitter, and I don't have all day to sit around and tweet. Some of my friends in the industry do, and that's great. I'm not putting them down at all. They're posting good quality, relevant material, and I can run through my feed and find some really great content in 10 minutes, as opposed to having to go out and check RSS feeds, this, that, the other thing. And most of the RSS feeds are dead now, and Google Feed Reader's dead. Anywho, one of the most important things that I would say about social media is, you know, let's say 20 years ago, the Better Business Bureau was the way that problems were solved, problems were handled. That's not the case anymore. I know, geez, it's been a long time now, but back in 2008, we were trying to fly out of Washington, D.C., and some yahoo decided that flying from D.C. to Colorado in the middle of Christmas would be better than flying from D.C. to Hotlanta, where there is no snow. And lo and behold, Colorado was snowed in, so our flight got...
No figure.
Yeah, I bitched about it on Twitter, said something about orbits. 5 minutes later, my phone rings. That's one of my friends in the industry, part of the big WADA debacle way back at a very old... If you get the big WADA debacle, then you probably know who I'm talking about. But Orbitz was one of his clients in the social media space. Hey, Dave, can you stop talking shit about us on Twitter? It's really looking bad. Took care of it. We had two first-class tickets, round trip, blah-de-blah, which were very expensive, clear across the country. And they took care of all that, completely reimbursed us, and then hooked us up with what was probably one of the most depressing side ventures ever, Atlantic City during Christmas. Ugh. They say Atlantic City is a depressed Vegas. You should see it during Christmas. That was depressing. They kept us a week there. We stayed 2 days and couldn't take it anymore.
Wow.
Partially because they didn't have ropes or anything to hang ourselves from in the room, but I'm just kidding. It was very depressing. We met a screenwriter at the bar. It was a different story for a different day. But the nature of that beast is, and at the time I had, I don't know, 35,000 followers, and so when I'm bitching about a company, 35,000 other people were seeing that. That was bad for the company. They handled it. They handled it very well. Comcast Cares is another great example. Those guys they did their due diligence back in the day. I got to work with them briefly on the setup of the entire deal, and every single person in that company under the Comcast Cares umbrella, you know, if you ever have to ask to speak to a manager or somebody you can't understand their English very well or things of that nature, and it gets escalated through their call system, if you say something like Comcast sucks in a tweet, somebody from their Comcast Cares, their goal is to reach out to you within 5 minutes. And they'll, you know, if you add us, we'll direct message you. They'll call you. When I upgraded to business class, I had the wrong modem, so I was supposed to be getting 35 megs down, wasn't getting it. I said, what the hell, or, you know, WTH Comcast, my speeds aren't what you're selling me. My phone rang 2 minutes later, the following morning on my doorstep is a brand spanking new modem that just kicks ass. And I love Comcast. A lot of people hate them. I have a great relationship with them. Anytime anything's said, they take care of it immediately. I never have to call the 1-800 line and then press 1 for English and press this for that and this for that and
sweet.
Wait on hold for 20 minutes. So I do like the way that social media is changing those sorts of things for the tech-enabled, or the tech-savvy, rather. I am a little disappointed that it's turned into a complete and total bitch fest about, oh, I've got 1,000 Twitter followers, and if you don't fix this, I'm going to go and tell all my 1,000 followers, blah-de-blah. You're going to have folks like that, and it is going to be a pain in the ass from time to time for those companies, but put yourself in your client's situation. If you had a really great experience with somebody, you're going to say something about it. And they want you to say something about it in social media because you can affect your listeners and the people that follow what you do. Had a really great experience here. Best burger I've ever had. Oh my gosh, this was great. People get turned on to new things. Also, you know, it's very easy to set up alerts. Somebody said business name and this. You should be reading. We have a client we were talking to. One of our larger clients gets a couple million impressions a month, does about 400,000 uniques. Had no idea, you know, some of these things were being said about them because they didn't have alerts set up. Now, anytime anybody says anything, we know within the first 3 to 4 or 30 to 45 minutes, and we're able to put together a response, take care of them, and make sure that the clients are happy. That speaks volumes about a company, and I think that's how companies should be using social media.
So many business owners are afraid to address you know, a negative review or what have you, and you know, anybody listening, it's always important to remember that those negative reviews are an opportunity for you to step in and show that you care, because you know, sometimes people will judge you unfairly, but if you are the bigger person and you go on that forum and you address it and show the heart behind your business, you'd be amazed at what it can do for you in the eyes of, you know, people who see those reviews.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and a really great book for anybody that is in a situation where you've had some negative or somebody's said to you, you need to do some online reputation management, or what we call ORM. Go check out the book Radically Transparent by Andy Beal. Like I said at the beginning of this second half of the show, people used to do business through or take care of problems and issues like this through the Better Business Bureau, where there's a mediation process between the owner of the company and the customer that's upset, and it's a long, drawn-out, arduous process. Things happen so much faster on social media, and if for example, well, using the Orbitz example earlier, I had 35,000 some odd followers, and you know, when my buddy called and said, hey, can you, you know, knock that off, and we'll do this for you and take care of all that, we apologize, you're missing your trip back home over the Christmas break, you know, what can we do to make this better? And they did everything in their power to make it better, and I immediately went back on and said, thanks, these guys were awesome, they helped out a lot. That goes from anybody that pops in and reads my feed, I'm pissed off, somebody breaks in, company talks to me, and everything's been settled, thanks, this is great. They didn't pay me off to say that, well, I guess they did through just stellar customer service, but Russ and I were having this conversation about Newegg and Tiger Direct the other day. We buy a lot of we're computer geeks. We buy a lot of geeky stuff. I bought Melanie a Chromebook. It showed up, 4 of the keys didn't work. I couldn't even log into our wireless network. Called him. Hi, David Brown. How are you doing? How's that Chromebook working out for you? I see it was delivered an hour and a half ago. Holy cow, I was throttled. This is awesome. These guys are doing it right. And you know, they had to charge my account for another one, or charge my card for another one, replacement. But they got that taken care of within 24 hours. Sent me something to print out. Hey, look, I know it's 11 a.m. there. If you can get down to the UPS store by 2 o'clock, we'll have this taken care of. The following day, and well, it was for Melanie's birthday, And her birthday is the day before Valentine's Day, which is also a very busy time of year for shipping. So I was just extremely impressed. Had a brand spanking new one that worked great. He said he'd pull it out of the box and check it. He left me a personal note. The customer service was phenomenal. And whenever I get treated that way, I feel like I should say, hey, this guy did a great job, or this gal did a great job.
Absolutely.
And that, to me, if you can treat your clients that way, your customers, if somebody gets upset, I'll tell you this, the worst thing you can do is be argumentative with them. Well, you're an idiot. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. I do this for a living. Oh, that's well, good. Let well, 1,000 people read that.
I think even worse than that is not saying anything at all.
Well, not saying anything at all. You know, they can pony express their answer in, I guess, or fax in, or whatever other ancient technology we have to get that smoke signal, maybe.
Well, and you know, when you look at negative reviews online, there don't seem to be very many that are in between the extremes. They tend to be either well thought out and decently written, at least decently written, or they tend to be these over-the-top rants. And what I love about the over-the-top rants, it's the same thing I love about social media. You know, we find out what people are really like. You know, we find out how people forget about the filter, and we find out how they really communicate. And it's amazing what people will commit to the written word. And let's face it, reasonable people, when you go to when you're reading online reviews, you can see who, I don't know any other word for it, you can see who the idiots are and who the people you want to listen to are. And as a business owner, if you even address one of the rants or address a rant, take the high road and address it professionally and address it in a caring fashion, it only magnifies how ridiculous that negative review was, you know, to begin with.
Yeah, right. Those people tend to bury themselves.
Oh, they really do. But see, still a lot of business owners are afraid of that because, you know, we've been in marketing, we've been taught about the lowest common denominator for so long that I think the intelligence of the general public is underestimated very often.
Right. Well, and we've seen in personal results that exact situation happening. And you're right, the client was hesitant at first to approach them. This person's just off the bat, they've ordered 3 times before, and every time it's negative review this, negative review that, they keep ordering. Have a discourse with them, just like you would through emails. Don't turn it into a flame war, don't troll them. Take care of it, and wait and see what happens. I guarantee you, you have fans of your company because you do have stellar customer service. CEO went in, said something very nice, apologetic, very sorry about your troubles. We'll do everything in our power to make this right. So-and-so from our office is calling you to get this worked out. And still, let's call her the crazy cat lady, comes in and is just blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing. 15 of this guy's, or of the CEO's fans come in to his aid and go, you're being completely unreasonable. He just said he'd fix this. And the funny thing was, this was like over a $45 item. It wasn't like she had bought a bad car for $10,000 or $20,000 and was being screwed over to a huge extent. And I look at that. I buy stuff online all the time. I've been screwed a couple of different times. And, you know, that's part of the game. These people aren't, you can't go back down to their business the next day and make a picket sign and picket their business if you don't like their business practices. You just have to kind of suck it up and take it, or go out and bitch about it on social media. Those are your choices, right? So in the digital world, to me, the way that the initial question was, what should my business be doing with social media? You should absolutely be tracking everything that is said about you and or your company on social media. And if you have anything that's great to share, an inspiring story, something that's really funny, this or that, that shows that you're not just a stuffed suit corporation, go ahead and put it out there. God bless my sister-in-law. She's a sweetheart. But She just built her first website on Wix.com, which is great. It's a free service to build a free flash website. And she does wedding photography down in North Carolina. And she thinks she's doing social media marketing. What she's doing is she's spamming all of her friends and family who live spread out all across the United States with the link to her website every hour on the hour. Day three, I've seen the link to her website 72 times, and it's annoying as hell at this point. I had to give her a call and say, hey, we'll talk about this over the weekend, but this is not how you do social media marketing. Oh, I read a blog post. This is exactly what you do. Again, this is not what you do. So I can guarantee she's not going to get a lead. That's kind of like tying an order sign to your dog's tail and letting him run around town and hoping he comes back with a couple people signed up. Chances are good that's not how you're going to make a sale. So
well, and you know, the question for her actually would be, do you want to get an email every hour on the hour from anybody?
Well, it's not an email. She's just doing it on her personal Facebook account to all of her friends and family, who would obviously hire her anyways.
I mean, you.
Oh, you do this for a living? Hey, we're getting married, and we live right down the street from you or within 30-minute drive of your place. Would you come down and do our wedding photography? She does take great pictures and everything, but again, she's not hitting her target demographic, and it's spamming. It's a bad practice, but she read it on a blog, so it must be true because it was on the internet. So, and I'm being completely facetious when I say that, folks. Just because it's on a blog does not actually make it so. Consider the source. Did we... you think we covered that one well enough?
Yeah, I think we covered it great.
Okay. I think we're... For newbies, and I guess there was some advanced stuff in there, but learn how to set up tracking for your company name. Not too terribly difficult. There's Google Alerts that you can use for free anytime somebody mentions you on Twitter or Facebook or things of that nature. So, and I think there's actually a Facebook Alerts. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. I'll have to look into it. I know we use a program, but it's a paid program. So at the start of the show, we were talking about we don't have any money for SEO. What can we do? So what you can do is spend what little money that you do have wisely and listen to podcasts, read blogs, educate yourself, and then ask yourself the question, how do I apply this to my business? And do your best. And if you have a question, hey, did I do this right? Put it down in our ask a question section. And we'll let you know. Because it's much easier to answer a question about a specific website than it is vagaries about all websites in general. So, for the Mind Your SEO podcast, this is David.
This is Mark.
This is Russ.
From the minds at Mind Development and Design, remember, turn on, tune in, and rank.